This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At 1 o'clock today, Chase Hughes of NBC Sports Washington will join us. They've got an update on the Bradley Beal rumors. The Pelicans sniffing around on Beal. The Wizards could be interested in moving him, perhaps. But who would be making that call? And should they be able to get close to a Bradley Beal trade around this draft without their next general manager here?
It's such a weird situation.
We'll get into all of that coming up on Grant and Danny. Plus, next hour, cannot wait to talk about this. This is probably the thing in DC sports I care the most about right now, and that is Anthony Rendon's future. Bryce Harper's back in town for a series if games are played. He was at Nats Park yesterday watching the rain, like so many of us. With him back in town and Anthony Rendon still not having a deal, it's time to start talking about what it would mean if he walked, what it would say, big picture, what we would learn about the organization. Would it just be coincidence? How would it be taken by this fan base? We'll get into that in about an hour. But let's kick off our Beltway Blitz right now. Rick Snyder covers the Redskins for the fan, DC.com, among other outlets. Rick, where are you at on the quarterback competition right now? Keenum supposedly ahead of Haskins. Gruden saying Haskins has done enough, though, to earn the opportunity to win the job at camp. How do you think this sorts itself out?
Well, I think Gruden's right. Haskins looks pretty good in camp. You know, there's a whole lot that can change. His key will be, can you throw the ball in the lane without a linebacker suddenly showing up and grabbing it? I saw that happen a little bit, and that's typical. But here's the thing. I think when you start the seasons, if all things are even, you start with Keenum for the experience against those big teams. And then if things don't go well, you go to Haskins. Because if you do it the other way and start off with Haskins and have to bench him and go to Keenum, you're trying to figure out season loss, looking for the future, why are you going to the veteran then?
Rick, where is, I guess, just sort of your general vibe here about Jay Gruden? He's very secure in his own skin, right? He's had kind of a raw, not even kind of, he's had a raw deal with injuries and this, you know, the chaos up above him. And it hasn't been terrible these last several years, but it's also not good either. Just kind of where are you at temperature-wise on Jay Gruden?
I think if they win 8-9 games, he can stay another year. But it all depends. Like, if injuries rack it up again, it's kind of hard to blame the guy. But then again, it'll be 6 years, so at some point, you move on. I mean, look at North. You know, he went through a lot of so-so years, had one good year, and they decided to move on to a different time. But I think this is kind of the year Jay either does it or they move on.
Rick Snyder, check out his work at thefandc.com. Let's pivot to the running back position for a moment. Darius Geis is supposed to be healthy. First-round talent they grabbed in the second round last year, exploded in training camp, and really at the start of the preseason for a handful of carries before he got hurt. How do you divvy up the touches between him, Peterson coming off 1,000 yards, Thompson, Perine could still be here. They drafted Bryce Love. Pretty jam-packed spot.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're going to run more this season, so there'll be a few more carries to divide up. You know, Geis was awful exciting looking. Just watched him in camp at all last year. He's your future. I think he gets more carries than AP, but AP's there to help out in tough times. And Thompson's still your third down back. Where Love comes in, I don't know. That's going to be a tough one for him.
I don't think their receiving position is good enough. And they went with they're going with a couple kids, at least kind of mid-round draft picks, mid to late-round draft picks, to go with some guys that have either underachieved or been hurt a whole bunch. That, to me, is the biggest weakness on the roster right now, Rick. Is there a guy in that group of receivers, pass catchers in general, that you think is actually in for a big year?
Listen, fantasy league players, and write down this name, Cam Sims. He's going to catch a lot of balls this year. Watched him in the offseason camps because he got hurt in the opening kickoff last year. Gone, you know. So we didn't see him. But, man, I have watched him in camp and been very impressed. Makes him very good hands, good size, The instincts look better this year because he has a year around the team. I think Cam Sims will be their best receiver.
Really? Go into that in more detail, because Danny and I were kind of poking fun at the fact that people were all up in arms at how good he looked at camp. It seems like one of these June superstars. You actually think not only he's going to play, he could move his way to the top of the depth chart.
Well, it's not like he's knocking out Hall of Famers in front of him. You know, there isn't a whole lot there. That's part of the reason. But I think this guy is really good. I mean, I think he's somebody going to jump up and surprise him. I've been watching this a long time. Just my instincts say this is a really good player ready to explode.
I like it. The Rick Snyder seal of approval. Rick, appreciate it as always, buddy.
All right, guys. See you.
See you, my friend. Let's talk Nationals, Tommy. Meteorologist and Nationals beat reporter Jesse Dougherty joins us here on the Beltway Blitz. Jesse, it doesn't look good tonight either in terms of the rain, thunderstorms, maybe even tomorrow as well. What's going to happen if they bang this one tonight? The Nationals are really backed up, and it's not a good situation as it is.
Dave, I start getting tweets about the weather because you call me a meteorologist, I'm not going to be happy at all.
You were already getting tweets about the weather.
You already got them.
Yeah, but I don't need any more. What happens tonight? I mean, back-to-back doubleheaders is pretty crazy. Maybe I'm just in denial about that because I would not like to cover that. But, I mean, they have the time this week. Phillies are here. But then again, these teams meet a lot. They could push something down the road and create a doubleheader or tack something on later in the season. But if we don't have a game tonight, it's going to get pretty funky this week with pitching probabilities and all that. And I think everyone would like to just play some baseball.
Yeah, not to mention, it's such an important series, particularly for the Nationals, but with the Phillies taking on some water, the Braves having caught them, it's big for them too. You don't want these games being decided by, you know, pitchers getting called up from the minor leagues for spotties. You'd rather have your actual rotation thrown in these games. Let's talk baseball for a moment. If Patrick Corbin is able to pitch tonight, what do we need to see done differently? He has really been rough to watch for three straight outings.
Yeah, he has to locate his fastball. I mean, it sounds so simple, but like when Max Scherzer or Steven Strasburg struggle, it's harder to put your thumb on what's going wrong because those guys throw 5-6 pitches. Corbin's really a three-pitch pitcher. He throws a sinker, a four-seam fastball, and a slider. So if one of those pitches isn't working, I mean, that's the whole bottom falls out, and he's going to have a really hard time with opposing lineups. And right now, you're seeing both his four-seam fastball and sinker struggling. So now we're saying two of the three pitches he regularly relies on aren't being able to throw for strikes. I mean, you can't pitch that way. He has a curveball and a changeup that he uses very sparingly, but really it's those three pitches. And when his fastball command isn't on, he's not setting up a slider. We talk so much about that being one of the best pitches in baseball, such as effective out pitch, but if he doesn't have his fastball, it really is rendered to next to nothing. So I think that's what we're seeing, and if he can establish his sinker early against the Phillies, especially against a righty-heavy lineup, he'll have some success. But if he can't, we're just going to see more of the same.
Let's say Ryan Zimmerman comes back at some point. We assume that that's going to happen, right? It's a good problem to have where you've got more good players than you got lineup spots, but who's going to pay the price ultimately? Is it Brian Dozier sitting a couple more times in favor of Howie Kendrick? Is it Zim himself? Obviously going to keep him off his feet every now and again to get Matt Adams in there. How do you see some of those at-bats for guys that are crushing the ball right now working?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a mix of Dozier and Zimmerman because the benefit that you have with Howie is that you can get him in the lineup in a lot of different ways. He hasn't played the corner outfield this year. I think he's slowed down by injuries and age. I imagine he's mostly an infielder at this point. But if you look at trying to get him four starts a week out of your six games, you can probably do that between first base and second. And then some weeks it might be three at first and one at second. And that week, Zimmerman gets fewer opportunities. Some weeks it might be, you know, split between the two positions, or it might sway Dozier's way. But I think with Howie, like, it's obviously a conundrum, and like you mentioned, a good problem to have with too many guys to play at one spot. But the benefit of him is that he is a utility guy. It's not like you're trying to jam four guys in all at second base. So he does give you that optionality, and I think that you'll probably see Ryan Dozier's at-bats go down a little bit. But then again, if he gets hot, it could be something where Zim's sitting more often than not. So it's something that Dave Martinez will have to sift through. But I think, you know, he kind of leaned on the fact that with Zimmerman and Howie, the goal overall is to keep those guys off their feet a good amount anyway, given their injury history and age. So I think it's honestly the best spots for players to have this problem with.
Jesse Dougherty of the Washington Post. He's on Twitter at Dougherty_Jesse. And I got to say, he did a great job keeping people up to date on the rain delay last night. If you've got any questions tonight,
Jesse,
you want to tweet Jesse, it's at Dougherty_Jesse.
The point person.
He is the best person to answer those questions. He's the first one to know when and if they're going to get back on the field. He's actually in on the meetings when they delay
the
game.
He's going to joke with you. Don't bother me with this. Those are jokes. They're
those are
great jokes.
Keep the tweets coming at all costs.
Ask him.
Jesse, thank you.
And that concludes my last appearance on the show.
Have a good one.
That's well deserved.
Understood. There's Jesse Dougherty.
I get that.
We're Grant and Danny. You are listening to The Fan. At 12:45 today, we will take a trip down memory lane. Something was on TV last night that was nostalgic for you and I about something amazing during our childhood. We can get into that. But next, let's talk Trent Williams, Eric Flowers, and what's going to become of a guy who this week has been written about by two different reporters who might be cut and might be a starter. Going to go one way or the other for the Reds.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The NBA draft is only 2 days away on Thursday night. Matter of fact, the NHL draft is on Friday night as well. So back-to-back days, drafts this week. You know, I'm a big draft guy. I'm all about the NBA draft for years. Me and my buddy used to live down the street. We would tape the draft, like on VHS.
Uh-huh.
And then what we would do is we would get together randomly over the course of a summer or whatever, and we watched like 3 or 4 old VHS drafts from like years before that. You'd go back and be like, oh, Elton Brand or this guy. And you, nothing better than just watching an old draft and seeing the assessment of the player and
the
who was going to be great.
How
who
weird
wasn't.
The suits look because they were huge on the guys then. My favorite random draft moment that I'll never forget was the look on Steve Francis's face when he was drafted by the Vancouver at the time Grizzlies.
That didn't end with him being a Grizzly, luckily for him.
He was not thrilled about that. It was the Eli Manning turd in the punch bowl face. He was upset.
It's always weird to me when guys, and I get how it happens, how we get to the point where you don't want to play in certain markets or for certain teams. I'm not saying that no one should ever be able to pick and choose where they go, but it's strange to me that in a moment that should be one of the happiest of your life, I thought the same thing about Dwayne Haskins a little bit, to be honest with you, right away, where you went 15th to the Redskins. This is a blessing. You're back home, which he said since, you know, he's happy about. But the league done me wrong. He had, like, right away this kind of, like, frustration. And I think part of it is these athletes have been told their entire lives and, for the most part, have performed their entire lives as the best on the fields they were on, and they think they're the best at their position, and they all think they should have gone higher than they did.
Sure.
And Dwayne Haskins' case, he probably should have gone first overall. But when Steve Francis, I think he, this is off the top of my head, I could be way wrong. I was thinking 7th, but maybe he was like 3rd.
Number two pick. Vancouver Grizzlies.
So he goes 2nd overall, or Eli Manning is the first pick in the draft. He gets flipped, you know, with number 4 because of Phil Rivers was taken. San Diego's a pretty great town. Just a great place to live.
Yeah, Vancouver, by the way, one of the most beautiful cities we have. Not it's ours, but it's Canada's. But it's amazing.
Us as a people.
Yeah, as a human in North America, it's one of the great cities.
It's great, right? And you're like sucking on a lemon, pouting, big lip out.
I mean, I don't get it. He was so upset.
But you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like you saw it a little bit with Haskins. It was like I could choose to be elated. I'm staying in my own backyard with the team I grew up rooting for to some extent, or I could be mad that 14 teams passed on me, and I'm choosing that one. I just won't understand that. And it's not necessarily a Haskins point. It's kind of bigger picture.
Yeah.
Eli Manning did it. John Elway did it. A lot of guys have done it.
Yeah, to me, it's this should be one of the happiest things that's ever happened to you, and you couldn't control it. If you don't want to be subject to the rules about, you know, not where you get told where you're going to play, then you don't play that sport. Sorry. It's collectively bargained. They figured it out. You're exciting. You should be excited that they're choosing you to help save the franchise.
We just had Jesse Dougherty on. He tweeted this right after he got off the air with us. He said, I've done 3 radio hits today and not 1 Bryce Harper question. I believe we have turned a corner.
It's a good point by him.
Now, it's actually 2.5 radio interviews because we only had him on the blitz, and maybe if we had another 6 or 7 minutes, we might have hit on Harper. But his point's well taken. I think the rain has something to do with it. The fact that they didn't play last night, so there was no Bryce Harper hitting a double or a home run or something. They may not play tonight. But I said this to you yesterday when we took calls, or tried to anyway, on Bryce Harper coming back for the 2nd time. I think a lot of people have kind of turned the page quicker than I thought they were going to. They've just filed him away as if he's Rhys Hoskins. He's just another Philly.
Mm-hmm.
He is Jake Arrieta. And for whatever reason, the emotion and the passion seems to have waned substantially. As I said yesterday, I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that he's not playing well. If he was Christian Yelich right now and he was on his way to the MVP award, or he was Cody Bellinger having a historical season, I think the animosity and the vitriol and the anger and the disdain for his decision would only be growing. But because he's hitting 245 with a home run total of 12 that's on pace for 27 jacks, I can't get that upset that you left me when you're doing that.
It's not. It doesn't hurt as bad every day. Certainly, it's
as
like
if you were seeing a highlight of a game-winning home run.
Yeah, like if you know your ex-girlfriend turns into a supermodel, that sucks. But if your ex-girlfriend is still kind of playing Jane, but you just went with your most bitter rival, it's not good. You're not happy about it. Again, I'll never forgive him for going to the Phillies, but it doesn't sting as badly on a daily basis because you're not watching MLB Network for every single highlight. Early in the season, that's how it was, by the way. First couple weeks, he's on a tear. He's hitting 4-something. Doesn't get out against the Nationals for 2 weeks and is killing the ball, and you're going, oh, my God, he is on a Nationals revenge tour forever. He's going to make us pay. I still think he will, by the way. I still think he's going to have a surge and end up with some pretty monster numbers in that ballpark.
A Serge the soda can or a Serge Ibaka?
A Serge Zwicker, old school UNC center. He's going to have a Serge Zwicker.
What year? I have no file.
Oh, this is like a post-Montross guy. Big, goofy white. Big, goofy, awkward white.
Really?
Yeah.
I have nothing on that guy. That's a great pull by
you. Thank you very much.
While we're just reacting to tweets really quickly, before we get to the discussion at hand, I got another tweet here I wanted to bounce off of you. At Grant H. Paulson for me, at Funny Danny for Danny.
Mm-hmm.
You said earlier that you wanted a retractable roof over Nats Park so that they don't get rained out a handful of times a year.
Yes.
I disagree with that, but that's fine. Your point is, I don't want rainouts. I don't want a game like tonight, an important game against the Phillies, to get banged. I don't want people sitting around for 3 hours. So that's a different debate for another day. I don't think it's that plausible or realistic to have a retractable roof on the ballpark for just, 7-8 dates or whatever it's going to be. 15-20 tops that get influenced. But that having been said, a tweet from Chris says that he thinks they should have a retractable roof not only for rain, but for hot days as well. I responded to him and said a game in D.C. should never be played indoors because the sun is out. It's baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Baseball is meant to be played in the sun. If it's hot out, you know what goes with hot? Baseball. Baseball, the summer, hot, cold beer, your food. Enjoy yourselves outdoors. Get some sun. He says, tell that to a family of four when it's 95 degrees out and 80% humidity. I said they chose to go to a baseball game, not to go to a bowling alley. To which point he said, check the attendance when it's that hot. No one wants to roast in the D.C. heat for 3 hours.
Especially because that first base side, you are in a rotisserie. You're Kenny Rogers roasters over there.
Right. To which I responded, none of my opinions on this are going to do anything but get people mad, so I'll just keep them to myself. Now we're saying that if it's too hot out or it's too sunny out, we need a retractable roof so that people aren't outside in the heat to watch baseball. That's what we're saying now.
Well, it's miserable. I'm not talking about, the sun's out. We're just not going to close
over
the roof.
Over 90 degrees, you're closing the roof?
I don't know. There's a miserable threshold. When it's miserable, I'd close it. Again, we have too much technology. Too much is available to us. There's 7 stadiums that have roofs. 6 are retractable of the 30. And the ones that are built pretty recently, in kind of the same range as Nats Park, should have them. They didn't want to do it. It wasn't an expense that people were willing to put on, especially because D.C. taxpayers were footing some of the bill. But it's archaic to me that in this day and age, we're just going to say, well, maybe it rains, maybe it doesn't. Let's wait around. I can't believe we're still here. Put a roof on. Should have a roof.
You're still talking about rain, though.
I'm talking about rain,
he's
thunder,
talking
lightning.
About hot days.
Comfort. Entice fans to come to your park.
Ugh. Yeah, like I said, I got nothing that'll do anything to get people upset. But that's if we're talking about this in 2019, I can't wait to see what things we might have to accommodate fans for in 2025. That maybe it'll be 90 degrees out, and maybe it'll be humid. So let's make sure this family of four can come.
You want them to come?
Nope, not if they're going to complain that it's 90 degrees.
Okay.
They can stay home. They can just stay at their house.
This customer service business shouldn't be in the business of serving customers?
They should. It's baseball. It's an outdoor activity.
Yes.
Buy a seat in the shade if it's going to be a factor. If there aren't seats in the shade, when you get hot, go grab a drink, walk around the concourse, do what people have done since the beginning of time. Maybe take your kids to the playground that's there for them, that's suited for them, that's in the shade at Nats Park. There's a lot of things you could do.
Sure, there's options.
Absolutely.
But wouldn't you, I don't know. It's, I guess we have a different philosophy on customer service.
We have a different philosophy on baseball being played outside, which I would prefer that it is.
I would too.
During the sun.
I would too. I want it outside. But I also.
Just not when it's hot out.
No, you're saying that. What I'm saying is do whatever you can for your customers. The Nationals don't do that. So that's what I want.
I think
want
that's like a straw man thing. Like,
I don't think it is.
Okay, you should do. They cannot have games played in the heat and humidity. That means they're bad at customer service?
Well, that's the straw man. I'm saying you could go above and beyond. You could be great at customer service.
But what you're saying, hold on, what you just said was they need to be good at customer service. And you're saying that a retractable roof helps with that.
Absolutely, it does.
So,
doesn't it?
Doesn't that mean that if they have games in the heat and humidity, that isn't being good to their customers?
I'm not sure I follow that. Here's what I know. Fans get screwed, and you don't care about that very often, seems like. That's kind of the conversation we're having now, right?
I don't think you're getting screwed. If you're choosing to go to a baseball game in August, and you're upset because it's hot and humid out.
Sure.
I don't think you're getting screwed.
You're not, because you opted into it. But my point is, don't you want more people to come? Don't you want to entice people
to
come?
Sure.
So a good way to entice people to come is to make it comfortable. So if it's 100 degrees and you're playing a 4 o'clock game in the middle of the summer and it's humid and you're probably going to get a rain delay and it's miserable and for 80% of the stadium, if you had a retractable roof, you could put the roof up.
Maybe
more people might come. I'm saying...
If I sent a car to their house to pick them up to drive them to the ballpark, that would also entice more people to come. I think that that's not necessary. If they don't want to drive themselves,
okay,
then they don't need to come.
Okay.
I'd like them to come. I hope they come. It's going to be sunny out. It's the summertime. It's going to be hot.
Yeah.
So I hope they can deal with that.
I'm sure people can deal with it. I don't want to have to deal with something. I'd like to enjoy my experience. I don't think that's an unreasonable request.
Have you been to a game in August before?
Absolutely.
You've enjoyed your experience?
Sure.
I think you could probably enjoy your experience.
Yeah. But there are some people that might not be able to. And if you're in the business, of getting
August
people to come.
Isn't for them.
That's my point. Wouldn't you want to make it for them? That's the thing. I don't understand your opposition to this.
That I would have closed roof games because it's hot out?
Yeah, like they do in Miami or Houston.
Yeah, Miami, they do that. They have 3,000 fans there, by the way. I think that that's silly. I don't think that they should do that.
Okay.
Now, if it's over 100 degrees or something ridiculous like that.
And that's kind of what I'm talking
about.
Which
it is in Miami. That's not really a thing here that often.
Sure it is. It gets really, really hot and really, really humid here. Mm. Plenty.
I don't know.
I'm in the business, if I'm a team, of trying to get people to come. So that means probably less concession prices.
Where do you draw the line, though?
Not that an unreasonable place, I would say. If it's going to be miserable.
To me, playing baseball indoors so that you can get
more people to come,
that's past my line.
Right. That's not past
baseball
mine.
Baseball should be played outside.
I need to be enticing fans however I can. And the Marlins don't do a good job because their product isn't very good. But if I'm the Nationals, if I'm the Wizards, I need to not be raking in season ticket prices. I need to make sure people are welcome at my place. I need to be more welcoming instead of more exclusionary. Just as
I agree with
philosophy.
Those statements. I do. I'm not playing games inside so that people feel air conditioned in the summer. I can't do that. I'm not going that far. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Happy anniversary to my guys over at Ted Britt Ford. It's a big one, too. 60 years. That's right. The good people over at Ted Britt Ford have been taking care of folks like you and me since 1959. 60 years in business. How do you do 60 years in business? You don't luck into it. You don't just get it right for 1 year or 2 year or 5 year. You got to keep winning this game every single day. That's what they do. They make your buying experience top-notch. They'll give you 120% Kelley Blue Book value for your trade-in. Okay, that's just a start. They give you Ted Britt for life, which is lifetime vehicle coverage when you buy from Ted Britt Ford. New, pre-owned, doesn't matter. Anything less than 100,000 miles, you get it. They take care of it for life. Powertrain, service loaners, battery replacement, windshield repair, nitro tire fill, and complimentary Virginia inspection all for life. That's every day. That's standard. They've been doing that for 60 years, making a great experience. Now, for the Summer 60 event, you don't pay Ted Britt Ford anything for 60 days. That's right. No payments for 60 days on pretty much every model. Summer 60 event is in full swing. Go see him. Get a great deal on a car. Have an awesome buying experience. You know what you're going to do? Just what I'm about to do. Go back and see him again. They're in Fairfax, Chantilly. Click away at TedBritt.com. And when you go, tell them Danny sent you.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Much appreciate you listening to the show. At 1 o'clock, Chase Hughes, NBCSportsWashington.com, on the Wizards' chances of trading Bradley Beal this offseason. Is that something they should be considering? Apparently the New Orleans Pelicans, who are now armed with an extra first-round pick, they've got the number one overall pick that'll be Zion Williamson in 2 days, and then the number four overall pick, three picks after that, which they're willing to trade. That's a team that apparently wants Brad Beal. Could throw that pick and maybe some other things into the mix for Beal. I have a hard time believing anything's going to happen in the next few days around this draft, just because should you even be allowed to do that yet? If you haven't been named by general manager, if you're Tommy Shepard,
you can't, right?
I mean, that would be a Leonsis call at that point.
Or let's say a new general manager is hired right now this minute. It's still too early for the guy to make roster assessments and everything else. They've left themselves painted into a corner here.
Yeah, that guy would have to basically put together a to-do list that's a couple hundred items long before the start of the year. And he'd have 48 hours to prepare for the draft. I think he would just be a spectator at that point. He'd be sitting in the back of the room watching the crew that has handled all the scouting and all the prep and put together the board. He would have to just allow them to go do the draft as if he wasn't there, don't you think? Because that person hasn't, unless they're an assistant GM elsewhere who's been heavily involved in the draft, they're not ready to help the Redskins run their draft at this point.
I mean, the de facto GM right now is Tommy Shepard, and he's interim, but he's running all the operations, a.k.a. the workouts, the meetings, the scouting department issuing their reports. He's acting as if he's the general manager. If you name him the general manager, yes, I'll be disappointed. Yes, so will all the Wizards fans, all 10 of us that are left that give a damn what they do on a daily basis. But at least that guy would then have the autonomy and authority to set a direction for the team, a.k.a., no, we're keeping Bradley Beal, wrong in my opinion, but it's his call, or we are going to trade him, or we're going to try to trade him, and if we're not satisfied with the offer, we won't do it. Who's the number nine pick? Are you trading back? What authority do you have? Are you taking a project, knowing you're not going to be good for a couple years, or are you taking the most polished college player at that spot? You need to know exactly what you are doing, and it's not fair to a new GM, whoever he might be, to walk in and try to do that cold, and it's probably not something the interim guy should be doing either.
We'll get into that at 1. By the way, your chance to win Nats tickets coming up in 15 minutes right here on Grant and Danny. We were laughing because, and this isn't to necessarily poke fun at any work anybody's done. Both of these stories were correctly reported and done well, but it is a state, a very true, honest state of the Redskins' left tackle position. Within a few days of one another, John Keim of ESPN and Les Carpenter of the Washington Post wrote basically conflicting narratives on Eric Flowers, where Keim labeled him the most likely veteran to be released by the Redskins, like the biggest name guy that could get cut by the team this summer. Meanwhile, within 48 hours, there was a story written in the Post about the fact that Flowers could end up starting for the Redskins and is on his way to playing a pretty big role for them. Now, if I had to guess at which of these two things is going to happen, I would actually side with he starts for this team. If you told me right now, Danny, pick between 12 starts between tackle and guard, or even just a major role where he starts some versus gets cut, I would say A over B because the team brought him in. The team told you this is a guy that could help us. They've talked plenty about him now at the podium being a contributor, his versatility, guard, and tackle. He's getting first-team reps until Trent Williams shows up.
Right.
Right now, he's nowhere near getting cut. He's closer to being a starter. But it is just funny. That's where we're at. And that's why Trent Williams has so much leverage.
Yeah. Again, look at your backup plan. Before, you could get away with tying Secchi for a couple weeks, 3 weeks, maybe even a month at a time. There's no backup plan here. There's, oh my God, cancel the season. There's a, we can't play our rookie quarterback because we don't have Trent Williams in the lineup type situation. So if you're asking me what's more likely, he starts a bunch of games or has a major impact or he's cut, I would gently lean towards starts a bunch of games, but I also think it's very reasonable he could be cut. Here's how I view him. I view him as the offensive line's Case Keenum, a guy that didn't cost him a whole lot. They can get out of his meager salary commitment, save themselves $1.7 million, give or take, if they cut him. And you've got a couple kids in Wes Martin and Ross Pierce Baker. It's Pierce Baker, you guys. It's not Bakker. It's Baker. You want it to be Bakker, but it's Baker. Both those guys are vying for that spot. If one of those two kids is ready, goodbye, Eric Flowers. Thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it. If not, if there's still projects, if they're still more long-term, then he could be your left guard starter.
What about the swing tackle spot?
Well, there's that's the second point of this, I guess, is that Jerron Christian probably isn't ready. I mean, that's the other part. Yeah.
And not only is he hurt, he might not be any good.
That's the other part.
And I don't like saying that, which is why I whispered when I said it.
I know what you meant.
But last year was ugly. Now, I am reserving full judgment. I'm not calling this a bust. I'm not saying this was a bad pick. I didn't like it at the time because I thought it was a luxury pick at a position where you didn't need to go right then and there. But here's what we know. I will put Troy Apke in this exact same car as I drive it around the track. He's in the back seat. Jerron Christian's in the front seat. Both of those guys last year looked like they were nowhere near being able to help an NFL team. Both of them. They both ultimately got hurt as well. Christian, on an island at left tackle, is petrifying. Flowers might not be any more capable or better, but he knows more. Does that count for anything? They both might stink, and he might know a little more that maybe helps him cut some corners. The anti-Lito's pizza.
Mm. The point is, this was a position of strength. Talking about their offensive line in general, it's not as good as the Cowboys group or maybe a couple of the elite ones, but on paper, when healthy, and that's a big win. That's a plus for this Redskins team. You're now one domino or two dominoes away from not only being not a strength, but a glaring, oh my God, weakness. And that's not something we've experienced a ton of here in Washington. We've had weak links. We've had a lot of Sean LaValle. We've had a lot of guys that couldn't really do it, but it's been okay at times. I think the bottom could fall out if there's no Trent Williams. That needs to get resolved.
He's Danny. I'm Grant. This is The Fan. You can hit us up on Twitter, at FunnyDanny for him, at Grant H. Paulson for me. Your chance to win Nats tickets, end of next segment in 12 minutes. Next, something was on TV last night that took us down memory lane. A little nostalgia next on G&D. Welcome back to Grant and Danny on The Fan. End of this segment, we got a trivia question about the show today. If you can answer it, you got a chance to win Nats tickets to see them take on the Phillies June 20th. That is 2 days away. Thursday, series finale at Nats Park. Chase Hughes on the show at the top of the hour to talk Bradley Beal's future in Washington with rumblings that the Pelicans could be trying to pry him away from D.C. Yesterday, the MTV Movie Awards were on TV, Danny. When I was growing up, the MTV Movie Awards were one of the cooler, better, bigger things on television.
It's a big deal.
A kid, a teenager. It was awesome. You looked forward to it. All the stars came out. They pretended like it meant as much to them as an Oscar to win that little popcorn cup. But if you're my age, I'm 30. Up to your age, you're
almost 40.
39. I think the MTV Movie Awards were huge for you, probably, just from a pop culture standpoint.
Massive deal. I discovered they were on as I was on my guide last night. Just as I'm surfing through right before bedtime, I'm going, oh, my God, this thing is on. I had no idea. There was no promotion, no hype. I never saw a single Facebook ad, no Twitter ad, no ad in any kind of online media, no ad on any television network. No idea that it was on.
What you kind of advocated for before the show to me and Dar was the idea that, like, they don't matter anymore, or as you're saying now, kind of they're irrelevant.
I think it's irrelevant.
I think it's just that we're way out of the demo, slash we are just not plugged in on anything that would allow us to know that they were coming up. The advertising used to be when you were watching whatever shows or TRL, whatever you were watching for weeks on end. How would you know anyway? I just think they're not catering to you. That show's not for you anymore, and it's certainly not for me.
I still feel like I would have known that it was on in some way. And I understand I'm not the target demo. I may not respond to the ad. Like right now, when I log into Instagram, there's an advertisement on my feed for Spanx. I'm not the target demo for Spanx. Although maybe I should be, to be honest.
Male Spanx?
No, just lady Spanx.
Okay.
I'm lumpy in certain areas that aren't attractive. Maybe I should get Spanx. The point of the dude's story is it seeps in. It gets to you from somehow, some way. And it didn't. And I was stunned by that.
I think it's probably twofold. I think that we're just not who they're targeting, so we're going to see less of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure it's a smaller deal now. MTV in general is a much smaller deal. Think about when it first came out, how big of a thing MTV was. You'd go home, you'd watch TRL. I mean, there weren't as many ways to get your music. So sometimes, a lot of times, songs world premiere would be on that show. You'd go home, you watch the new song drop from the album that was coming out, the CD you were going to go buy of whatever rapper it was.
Mm-hmm.
I just think MTV is fallen off, so probably their award show has as well. But it got me thinking about some of the things, looking up some of the things from the 90s when I was a kid, or that era, really, that are no longer used. So here's something I came up with, something nostalgic that I'll miss. I will miss leaving a message on / recording a answering machine inbox at home. When I was a kid, as a family, we used to do these like very detailed, like thorough, funny, zingy answering machine.
Very sticky.
Messages, exactly. But when's the last time you've left a voicemail for anybody?
Like the occasional business-related thing. And
yeah.
I'm sure I'm business. I'm a real businessman over
right here.
But like that kind of adult stuff.
Like just fun,
but
pleasure, personal.
Personally,
life.
8 years.
It's been so long.
10 years.
And you'll never call a landline again and leave a voicemail, I don't think. Maybe at an office or something like that. But for pleasure, I don't think you'll do that. When are you ever in your life going to feel what you felt when you sat in front of your computer and you stared at AOL Instant Messenger waiting for that little pop-up for someone to get back to you on your screen name after you left your away message?
So that's for you guys. I never did that.
Really?
I never had an AOL Instant Messenger thing. I never had an AIM account. I never had any of the IM stuff.
How did you miss that? You're old enough to be in that window.
I just never did that. It was not something any of my peers did, and nobody was doing it. The first thing I did in that vein was—
How did you communicate with your buddies?
We did a lot of G-Chat. G-Chat was a thing.
G-Chat?
I never, ever, ever once had a screen name or any of that crap.
Google G-Chat, like email?
Yeah.
When you were a kid?
Not when I was a kid, no.
I'm talking about when you were like 12 years old.
Yeah, we didn't have that.
So you had Instant Messenger.
Yeah, but I'm saying no one I knew used it.
But how did you communicate then? Because G-Chat wasn't a thing yet.
Oh, I was saying in general. That's the first time I did anything like that was G-Chat. So like in the early 2000s.
Wow.
So we had nothing of the sort. I don't know how we did. You had to call somebody's parents and ask if like Grant was there.
So here's another one.
You had to do that.
This one's good. What about a floppy disk?
What did I write down right here? Floppy disks.
That's a good one.
I miss the bleep out of floppy disks.
So
I miss them.
At the first day of school,
no,
when
you don't.
You,
I do. I miss them.
He definitely
hand
doesn't.
I miss
them. What do you miss about
them? I miss them.
There's nothing to miss.
I miss that little
do you
on
miss
the desktop.
When that little metal part would get a little bit bent because you pulled it out.
And then it was pummeled.
You could never get your paper that you'd written.
I miss, I'm sure I miss them. I Bella Minsk them. I miss floppy disks.
Middle school and high school, when you went to school on the first day and they told you what you needed, it was like a pencil, this, that. They would always say a 3.5A floppy disk so you could bring your assignments.
Is this disk formatted? Did you format this one? Do we have to format it now? Am I going to lose my paper if I do it? Oh, I missed that.
I was thinking maybe I'm running through this list here. I was never really big on cassette tapes. I never really listened to those. Some people did, but I think you could put my version of that with CDs. I used to buy and listen to CDs all the time. CDs are so gone. Does anyone remember the last CD they bought? What it would even have been?
Oh, my God. I can't remember the last CD I bought.
It's definitely not 5 years, is it?
No, it's more than that. It's been many, many moons. But with CDs, I don't miss CDs specifically, but I miss the CD cases, the CD holders, right? Where you take it out of the dumb plastic, because that thing always broke and was bad. Those, like, zipper ones that you'd carry like a wallet. You know what I'm talking about? The black
yeah.
ones that, like, do you have a 20 CD holder? Do you have 100, like, that big book? And then you'd go through people's CDs and, like, judge them. What mix and how they labeled it, if they put the CD jacket in the back part, or if they did the double up where you put one CD on the front part, the second CD on the back part to maximize space, and they were really heavy.
Here's a good
CD
one.
CD holders, man.
Now obsolete, right? Pre-2000, something that was huge. You'd always get in a car, and the driver's seat, like on the door in the little panel, there'd be a paper actual map. You know, people
yeah.
would have like maps in their car
yeah.
in case they needed to figure something out.
Written down directions.
No one misses maps.
Danny misses them if he misses
not.
Floppy disks.
I do not. I do not miss maps.
Can you admit you don't miss floppy disks?
I miss floppy disks. I want everyone to understand that. I miss them. You can I'm sure me to death, Peck. I miss them.
What about stores? Like stores that you used to go to that are gone.
Yeah, like Toys R Us was the greatest thing ever. That was the reward. It was like you did well on your report card, very rare. But you did. You're going there. You had a great Little League season. You're going there.
Your boy bought all his electronics for a while at Circuit City.
Oh, yeah, you did.
Long gone. I mean, Best Buy. I don't know if that's the same, but like Best Buy now pummels anything that I had as a kid, probably. But I think I met Gus Frerotte at an ANN. Aren't those long gone now?
What's an ANN?
ANN is like a clothing store that I think went away. At least it did back home where I'm from. But I went and did like a autograph signing one time where I stood in the line and Gus Frerotte was the quarterback of the Redskins and signed.
That's something. I miss going to Blockbuster and spending an hour and a half trying to figure out what video you wanted to rent.
For me, it was B&D Video, but it's the same damn thing.
The same, yeah. There was Hollywood Video, which is the Rogue one. We also had a membership there.
My dad would take us on Friday nights, four of us, and we would run around in the aisles and pick out our movies. And me and my brother would always get a bunch of old Royal Rumbles to watch. That was like our move. My sister would go to like the recently released and whatever else. But yeah, we would run around. We would get our movies. We'd come back, watch TGIF after we went skating. Went like roller skating around the circle at the rec department. And then come back big Friday night, eat some ice cream, watch Rescue 911.
I miss Walkman. That was an advancement. Because the cassette tape obviously itself was incredible.
Yeah.
It was a much bigger deal than from before. My first cassette album was Guns N' Roses' Appetite for Destruction. I also got a Def Leppard Hysteria cassette for my birthday. And a boombox that I put it on. Next birthday, I got my Walkman, and that was a game changer.
This one's perfect. All those are good. We can end it on this, though. A guy named Joey just tweeted us. This is such a great call. He says, I do miss the MTV Movie Awards, but I really miss the Rockin' Jock games. You guys remember those?
Rockin' Jock?
Like Chris Webber. I don't know why I have this memory. But they were playing rock and jock hoops, and they had
the 25-point shot.
Yeah, and then way above the basket was the 25-point basket, like 30 feet off the ground. And Chris Webber hit that shot to like win the game at the very end on the 25-foot basket.
Do you miss having to have long distance charges and ask if the call was long distance or local?
I think that was before me. I don't think I've ever done that.
I don't miss that at all. Where because you're going to use someone's phone, and you'd say, "Oh, it's a local call," and it actually was you had to distinguish.
I don't think I've ever had that. That was before you.
Then there was like the calling cards. You had like a PIN code that you could use for your own calling cards. Don't worry, I have a card so that it wouldn't charge the local house.
I don't miss that as much as you miss floppy disks.
Dude, floppy disks were great. Get mad at me.
Right now, if you're the first person to tell Brendan which national we had on the show earlier today, you'll win a pair of tickets to see your Nats take on the Phillies June 20th at Nats Park. 106.7 The Fan and PenFed Credit Union are taking you out to the ballgame all season long, courtesy of PenFed Credit Union. Details at thefandc.com/contests. Is Brad Beal going to be traded this offseason? We will try to get that answer next.
Grant and Danny, we are Window Nation guys. What does that mean? It means that we could have gone for anybody for our new window needs, a new door need for Grant. And I got a sliding glass door as well. We chose Window Nation because they're great at what they do, the value, the experience. All they did was they sent Dave over, who's an experienced sales rep. He comes over, assesses the place, gives me an estimate, figure out how much it's going to cost. Boom goes the dynamite. The price is locked in. Everything was perfect. Not a speck of dust on the ground when they were done. Cannot recommend them enough.
Yeah, windows are made right here locally in the area, and you're going to save thousands on energy bills. I already have. Danny already has. Better than that, though, aesthetically, your house is just going to look more like you want it to. They got a great offer right now. It's just like the one I took advantage of, and Danny did as well. Buy one window, get one free. There's no limit. So however many you buy, you get that many free. Plus a 0-0-0 offer. No down payment, zero interest, and zero payments for 12 full months. Call them at 866-90-NATION, 866-90-NATION, or go to windownation.com. And when you do, tell them Grant and Danny sent you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.